This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Frank Castagnetti of New Hope, East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Performance Versus Trust, was delivered on May 30th, 2021. Here now is Pastor Frank.
Good morning. How's everybody? Does this sound all right? You can hear me back there? Good. Okay. Yeah, what a time we're living in, right? I mean, we're coming off of this pandemic. I think we finally flattened this curve, yeah? So that's good. We're moving forward. It's been a busy time. School just ended, I think, for most everybody. I know for us, our last day was on Friday. We had our sixth graders graduate on Thursday. So it was long days hanging out with them, you know, all the drive-through ceremonies. So I want to congratulate all the family members, you know, moms, dad, auntie, uncle, grandma, grandpas, cousins, who have graduates from whatever grade. They're moving on. And that's an awesome thing in this time. It shows our resilience and our ability to get things done and to continue with what is important. Knowing the Lord, for those of us that know him, the education of our keiki, which is important, keeping things moving in this world. And that's a great thing. It's Memorial Day weekend. It became another evident thing, you know, like the light bulb come on, right? We have Memorial Day and Veterans Day. So for those of us that are veterans, today is not our day. We hear a lot of thank yous for our service and we also, you know, appreciate that. But today is Memorial Day. It was developed specifically for a memorial celebration of those that have served our country and given the ultimate sacrifice in that. And so, of course, there's Memorial Day for that. But I think that it's also fitting on this Memorial Day that we also look back in our hearts and in our shorter time frame if we've lost anyone due to COVID, or say it wasn't specifically COVID, but they had some underlying conditions. And I want us to keep them in our hearts and our prayers. Some of us were touched very close by this. Others, maybe not so much. But I think it's okay to kind of globalize or broaden out what Memorial Day is standing for. I know it's the fifth Sunday, and we traditionally would wear the blue for the men, and I'm wearing red. So I'm kind of bucking against it for a couple of reasons. One, I'm actually not supposed to be in the red. For Races for Christ, red is for Fridays when they are at the larger events, and they've started the program on like a Thursday or Friday, and then they come into Friday and it's red. They wear the red, R-E-D stands for Remember Everyone Deployed. So there's a reminder in there that that at least at Races for Christ, they're wearing the red for military primarily, but they have also expanded that. So I want us to expand that to remember everyone that's deployed, not just our military family, but all of the frontline workers. And as we saw that definition in the pandemic, it expanded. That was teachers, that was people working at the grocery stores, not just our paramedics, firemen, and police. But I want us to remember anyone deployed out there, and that includes yourselves. If you kept your business open or you were doing something to keep going, you were deployed out there in the midst of this, fighting through these things, and you deserve a big mahalo for that. So for Memorial Day, let's not just keep it just specific to the armed forces, but remember everyone who's been deployed, who's gone out and stuck to the hard work to keep the economy going, to keep your family safe, to keep the neighborhood safe, all of those things. Let's remember those at this time. I found as I was doing this message, go back one, please, Lena, that's okay. Performance versus trust. And I found, you know, this has been a really busy month for me and for my wife. We got a lot of things going. My dad would call a lot of irons in the fire. You know, so we're getting ready for a trip to the mainland on Tuesday. I've got races this weekend. They finally opened up the track a little bit. No spectators, but we're racing. Last 2 weeks ago we raced, we were able to have 100 people. That's cars, workers, no spectators, so cars and crew. The county opened up and allowed us up to 250 for this weekend, and we were packed yesterday. We were filled in, and again, no spectators. I think we had over 50 some odd cars in competitions with their team. So it was blistering hot, gorgeous day. You could complain, but no sense. It was hot, but but it was gorgeous because we were racing. But when I was looking at this message, you know, I was like, performance, trust, and I put it together, but it really started to gel. Last week when Kahu was up here talking about his message, and you know, the devil's got really, other than a liar and a deceiver and stealer, he's really got two tactics that he pushes on us. So I want you to think of this. If you're in a good space and things are comfortable and you know, things are moving along nicely, you're good with that. The devil's gonna push you to go faster. Now, if you're already running around like a chicken with no head and you're on a mission and you've got a lot of things going on, he's gonna try to slow you down. He's gonna throw anchors in there to pull you here, pull you there, and he wants to slow you down. I would say as long as you are focusing on kingdom work and you're staying true in that and the Spirit is carrying you, if you're going like gangbusters, go. If the Spirit has you slowing, taking it easy, being a little more reflective, that's fine too. As we were doing the trivia today, right? The first question was, have we been justified by works? Have we been justified by our performance? Scripture tells us it's not. We're judged by our faith and our belief in Jesus, his death, his resurrection, and our belief in him for our own salvation. So that's kind of where this message was born out of, even though I'm trying to share with you, all these things started to just kind of jigsaw fall into place this last week. So let me get my eyes on. Thank you, babe, for printing this for me. All right. So performance versus trust. So I'm going to roll into this. I was wasting time one day, probably procrastinating over some important task. I'm skilled at that. And I was scrolling through some other conferences on the internet, and I came across a segment by author Simon Sinnett, S-I-N-E-T. He's an author, he's a blogger, he's out there. I haven't followed a lot of his things, but he's got a few that are interesting to me. And he was featured on TED Talk, T-E-D Talk. And TED Talk is a great resource if you're looking for things, because what it is it's kind of like a experiential talk where people will come and they'll share things, and it's usually short, poignant, right in there. It really gets to the heart of the matter relatively quickly, rather than like a long conference where you're in there and it's long and drawn out. The TED Talks are really good. But he's known for being very optimistic, and he's presented on how he looks for patterns to help organizations and leaders think, act, and make decisions. And what caught my attention, of course, was that he did a presentation after working with the Navy SEALs. And he found out some truths that I can attest to after my time of service, and I'm sure some of these will strike true with you. So it's not specific to Navy SEALs and military. I want you to look at this just in terms of your own job and your work. And I think you'll start to see a thread that we can agree on here. But what was exciting to me is that the tenets have biblical roots, right? In my drive right now and in my work, I'm always looking at what is out there. And as a behavioral therapist, we're always looking at, well, what is the theoretical perspective that we're basing this on? Or what study am I looking towards? That's our evidence, right? The evidence-based objective measures that we're putting out there. And I take that and then I'm like, okay, Lord, reveal to me where in Scripture this is. Where is that old, true wisdom? And I have not yet been disappointed that there's a crosswalk for Scripture to everything that I do in my work. So I have a beautiful place in my work where I can minister to my students and staff and give them Scripture without having to hit them with the Scripture. I go, hey, this is what I'm thinking. They're like, oh, that's great. And I'm like, thank you, Lord, because that's His Word. So these biblical roots, like I said, these are not new, and it's old wisdom. They actually sometimes run counter to what we're taught in school, and they buck up against corporate culture, and they really run flat out in the opposite direction of what this world elevates as good and aspiring, right, which is your performance. So before I get to the scriptural underpinnings, I want to break this down. I want us to remember that the graph we're going to put up here, and you can put the graph up. It's based on feedback from Simon's work with the SEAL teams, and again, it's opposite to corporate business model expectations. So I'm going to try to do this in a manner I can. So in the graph, we see several blocks, right? You know, you got your x and your y axis. But what I want you to look to is that the findings with the SEAL team members, this is their individual perspective. So remember, there's the team, but each one of them is their own individual unit and member of this team. On the bottom left, there's this person, and we can think of someone, hopefully it's not us, that is in this low performance, low trust. So obviously in the SEAL teams, that's a no-go. Most places, this is a no-go. It could be a place to start from. Let's say you're a teenager and you're looking for your first job. You don't know anything, and nobody knows you. So you may be starting here. I'm not saying this is a bad place specifically. It's a humble beginning right there. It's what are you going to do with that, right? But most of us go like bang over to the right side because you can see it's like that, I want to be there. I want to get there. And I can see that. We want to get over all the way up there, that high performance, high trust box. And I can't blame you because most of us are taught to think in this manner. But I want us to slow down and follow with me for a minute. I know you won't because you're already going over self-screening your performance and yeah, I'm up there and I know them over there and they should be fired and this guy's got to come along and if they would just follow what I'm saying, they'd be up here with me and those knuckleheads down there, they're not listening, right? But just slow down. Stay with me. We see high trust, low performance over here. And then we see high performance, low trust. Can you think of somebody that is consistently like that? There's times where we all are in here. But they really do well, but you don't trust them for anything. It's like, man, they perform, they get the job done. But man, they gossip, they backstab, they offer their own. I cannot trust them. So performance, yeah? In this setting, in what the SEALs revealed, right? Not the world. That's an important place. Same down here. High trust, low performance. I trust them. They're really good. They're dedicated. They show up early. They stay late. But man, they're not getting the work done, and I just need them to do this and this. That's a place to work out of. But here's what Simon found with the SEALs. In the low performance, low trust, there's an X, meaning no one on the SEAL team would be found there. That's why that X is there. Next to it is the high trust, low performance box. No comment. No X, but no comment. It makes some sense, but my suspicion is that there's a place marker, but not all that likely in reality. It's there holding a spot. Remember, the context here is the SEAL teams. You won't find anyone in the military, let alone a SEAL team, that's been found to be trustworthy yet is a poor performer. They'll be out relatively quickly. Trust has to be based on something. The yellow box there is just to draw your attention to the importance on the right side of that graph because there's nothing in there about performance. We also see high performance, low trust in the top left with the comment toxic. That's a finding. SEAL team members stated that a person who is in the high performance, low trust box is toxic to the team's ability to function as a tight, cohesive, and unified unit. The high performance, low trust next to it is the high performance, high trust box. And three exclamation points. That's another finding. It's a lofty, near impossible goal to attain, achieve, or sustain. Every team member wants to be there. Every member wants to know someone in that box. It's the ultimate achievement. It's ideal for what they strive for in the teams, though they rarely will present that in the nature of their work and how their performance is measured or lost. And there's a reason. Overall, what Simon found with the team members is that they would take someone from anywhere on the right side of the graph that's demonstrated trustworthiness. They wanted trustworthiness over the best performer or the left side of the graph because they're demonstrating little trust. They're choosing trust over performance. Simon shifted attention with the SEAL teams to the corporate boardroom, and he made the contrast and comparison, and this is where some of his work comes in. He found that they, meaning corporate America, has it backwards. Performance is the goal in corporate America and in the world. It's evident on how employees are graded and evaluated. Think of yourself. Are you looked at by what your trustworthiness is or what you're performing, what you're doing? People are evaluated and graded, promoted based on their performance rather than the trust they exhibit or expect or draw from. In other words, corporations were looking at the high performance, low trust box as the gold standard. Yet we discover the SEAL teams noted that the upper left leader and teammate is toxic. Regardless of how well they did or how high their performance is, they're not trustworthy. They're toxic. And in a SEAL team or in the military or other, high-stress jobs like that, if you don't have trust, that can lead to people dying, either your team or people that you're there to serve and take care of. Now, I'm not trying to badmouth corporations. There's a place for that. They're driven. Sometimes they're contributing. Maybe they take that high performance, and then they take some of that profits, and then they're giving that over to charitable contributions. There's ways that this offsets itself. This is just one little narrow perspective. If you're a corporate person and you run a business and you're a CEO, you can come and talk with me, but I mean, I'm trying to put something out here in the end where I tie this back to scripture about performance and trust. Most corporations run like this, but they have meaningful places in our society and economy. But what Simon found is that the corporate focus on high performance versus high trust. He found that corporations often want high performance, they want the job done now, over anything else. Part of the reason is that public corporations have quarterly reporting. They have shareholders, they have a board of directors. If their returns aren't better than the quarter before, there's accountability. Leadership's called on the carpet. Wall Street will tear them a new one. You know, investors, the board of directors, they don't want to be in that position in that corporation of why they're not performing. I understand that. So they promote people produced on the high results, regardless of the internal costs sometimes. But remember that the Navy SEALs find that toxic. But there's a balance here, right? Number two, it's easier to measure performance than trust. How do I measure trust? Performance, I can easily check a box that says, was the goal met? Yes. Was it exceeded? Yes. And you can note that. Was it done on time? Yes. Ahead of schedule? Perfect. Right? How much money was saved? Awesome. Those things are really objective and we can put them out there. Performance is generally that objective. It's easy to identify, measure, and quantify. Measuring trust is much more difficult. How do we measure someone who generates and fosters trust within their team? It gets a little subjective sometimes. The results may not show up for a long time. Building trust in teams takes a long time to do. It doesn't always equate to increased revenue or profits. There might not be an equal, crosswalk right over to that. Corporate leaders want results each and every quarter, not every 2 or 3 years from now. If you're building a team, you look at like football sports teams, you see that, oh, so-and-so's got the draft, and we're looking, right? You guys do this if you're football fans or any sporting team where there's the draft and you're looking who's coming up and you're going, where are they going to that team? And what does that mean with the constellation of players there? And you go, and you hear coaches, it's a rebuilding year. We lost these guys. You hear it a lot in high school. Man, we lost our whole front line. They were all seniors. We've got sophomores and juniors. It's a rebuilding year. We're not going to be able to do this, this, and this. I'm building for 2-3 years down the line. And you go, oh, that makes sense. But they can do that. Measuring trust is difficult. But in summary, what Simon found was that trust in the long term builds high levels of performance. So once a trust is built and the team is gelled, performance goes. Show of hands, who's paddled canoe like the six man? One, two, several. Okay. If you've never been in one of those canoes, I can tell you, and there's certain seats, and you power out the seats. So there's certain people who have certain skills sit in certain seats. But when you're in that canoe, and you are paddling, and you're hearing the cadence, and then you switch correctly, and you're all dipping and pulling white water at the same time, that canoe glides, and you feel it in your legs and your acole. And it isn't straight. It actually shuck, slide, shuck, slide. Shuck, slide. But let that one person get slightly out of time and you're like this and it jerks the whole canoe. You can feel it. And you can get your rhythm back. But that's an example of the trust coming that when you pull that team of six together, they know what they're doing. Imagine a team doing like the Molokai, where they're bailing out and jumping in. They have to have trust that you're going to be able to get in and we can pick up without losing any momentum. So Simon, again, that long-term trust builds high performance. His suggestion is that if you're the kind of person that believes outperforming everyone is what will make a difference in your life, you might be in for a shock. You might end up lonely. You might be a high performer, but you might not have a lot of people around you that trust you. But if you're the kind of person that exudes and promotes trust, you might find yourself much love. And he says that we all have a choice, lonely or loved. That's Simon's position. So we've seen this board, but now in trust, what does this have to do with church and fellowship and our salvation? I think it's pretty simple. God's provided the blueprint and instructions for all of us. There are, of course, a plethora of scriptural references, and depending on which Bible version you may have, the words trust, believe, work, and works occur around 100 to several hundred times in Scripture. While the word performance is not specifically used, there's many scriptures that refer to performance using adjectives such as believe, completion, works, finish, perform. So all I've done is I've selected, I think, four. I wanted to stay kind of focused to help show the importance but differentiate between performance and trust in relation to our relationship with God in the fallen world. First one, we know this one, right? Folks, say it with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. He will make your path straight. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. We're all familiar with this verse, yes? It's inspiring. It's encouraging. It's also cautionary. God wants us to trust him for everything, for our health, for our prosperity, for our value, and for our worth. And if you're working in the corporate world and those things are missing, you need to really lean into the Lord. I want you to perform hard at your jobs. But if they don't reward your trust as excellence and they don't point that out, you need to find a place that does that, and God does that for us. He asks us to submit to him in all things, and he'll set our paths straight. Trust God, work hard, performance goes up, something Simon found. Or other ways to look at a straight path is it's a successful path. It's a healthy path, or a fulfilling path. Possibilities are endless. It'll fit whatever walk you are on. Number two, commit your ways to the Lord. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness, or make your righteous shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. I have performance in there. That's me trying to look at this. That's in Psalms. This is another encouraging verse that we should trust in our Lord and that he's going to reward us. According to Simon, God would be on the right side of the graph demonstrating trustworthiness. Number three, for it's grace that you've been saved through faith. It is, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It's not by works, again, according to Father. He wants us to trust in him. He'll set our path straight. Remember our Father. He gives us our daily bread. If we get more than that, if he takes things on the want list and he provides those like he does for me, that's just more gravy. He meets my needs. He meets all of our needs. But if he's able to get to the other things, the Lord will do it. Number four, I will expose your righteousness and your works, and they will not benefit you. This one kind of clobbered me because I'm a hard worker. And I'm like, yeah, I'm getting it done. And like, God don't care all the time. He wants me to do a good job. He wants all of us to do a good job. He's not measuring us by that specifically. By you doing a good job, you're showing you are trustworthy, my friends. but they don't benefit you. So this is in Isaiah. When you cry out for help, let your collection of idols save you. Good luck. The wind will carry all of them off. A mere breath will blow them away. But whoever takes refuge in me will inherit the land. We understand that we cannot do good to gain our salvation. We cannot do good and work hard to secure our place in heaven. Jesus already paid that ransom. That's why the cross is empty. It's done. That was a grace offering from God to us. Undeserving. Undeserving. But we're grateful. We know grace is defined as undeserving favor or regard. And that fits our circumstances well, my friends. Our works are useless in Scripture because the comparison of where he wants that paradigm shift is trusting in him. We all know he's not saying your work is useless. Your work is super important because in those opportunities for you to perform at work, you're following through on your Christian walk. So perform well. We just know in our hearts that the performance isn't the bottom line. That's not the last and only thing that defines our worth and our abilities and our skills. Likewise, we may be uncovered, and the truth about our misguided works and performance won't help us. Again, we're encouraged and reminded to take refuge or trust in God. We're encouraged to be doers of the word, to use our gifts to spread the gospel and make disciples of the lost. If you're doing well at work and you're performing and people are talking to you, you have an opportunity to build trust. Because when you give them those tidbits on how to perform or how to do well, and you encourage them and you lift them up and you tell them, you can do it, keep working this, hey, try this, this is what worked for me, and that works for them, you're building trust. And then you're capitalizing on the ability for performance to increase later. We want to be doers of the word. And I know we've said that a lot. Pastor Jaywin loves saying it. Be doers of the word. Do it, right? We don't want to be talking about it. We want to demonstrate this. Spread the gospel. Don't use words. Use your work. Use your work out there to show you're spreading the gospel. So as long as we don't listen to Satan, we don't get it too twisted up, we start to believe that we can do something so God loves and accepts us. That's what the Lord wants for us. That's what these few scripture verses encourage us to do, my friends. So Simon would conclude, the corporate world is measuring worth by performance, placing them on the left side of the graph. That's his findings with the teams. And that a belief in only our efforts to validate our existence and our value and our understanding. So our performance is what's going to, in the corporate world, out there in the real world where you're running around, you got to be there, do this, do that. They're measuring you by your performance. Let's just not get too twisted up on that. So here's my last point. I want to challenge us to take great comfort in knowing that the King of Kings, he calls us friend. We are known as his, and we're welcomed in his kingdom. While our reality is that we're measured by our performance, and we see tangible rewards for our success. We get paid every 2 weeks. We get great benefits. There's other things that come along with good performance. Nothing necessarily wrong with that. I don't want to discourage you from doing your best. I do want us to check our heart. Remember who we ought to trust in at all times and in all circumstances. Look to the author and perfecter who is demonstrating high performance in his timing and is forever providing a high level of trustworthiness by having a perfect plan for our life. We'll close in prayer. Father, I thank you for this time, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for contrasting our performance and our trust in you, Lord God. And I know all of us work hard, Lord God, and that our condition of our hearts clearly says we're performing for you, Lord God, because we trust you. We're thankful for our work. We're thankful for our employment. We're thankful for all the things that you do, Lord, to meet our needs. We continue to look to you, Lord. We look up to you because we can trust in you. We praise and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, James, come on up, brother. Brother James is going to take over. You got it?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Pastor Frank. All right. Every fifth Sunday, we like to take a missions. our church supports the Four Squares Missions Press, and this is our chance to just help reach out to the world, the kids, and it's a good thing that we support. It gives them Bibles and reading material to help them know God. So this is our chance, and I'm going to pray for the offerings. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for everything you've done for this church, for the people. Father, we pray over this offering. May it reach out into the world and to the kids, and we just pray that you open their hearts to you and they can receive you. Father, we give you all the praise, all the glory in your Son's mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
So let's all stand up and worship the Lord and the mighty men. We call them the mighty men, and I get to be a part of him. So don't forget, those that have never experienced the joy and the whatever, it's an indescribable feeling that happens when we're with all together in the men's ministry. And I encourage anyone to come and join us on the second and fourth Saturday of each month. And again, as Pastor Aaron was saying, don't forget, we're in one of those confusing months where we're going to have a break of 2 weeks instead of just one. So we've had times where people are waiting at the gate. Yeah. But shows you the kind of heart that wants to be here and worshiping the Lord, just as we are doing right now.
You've been listening to Pastor Frank Castagnetti of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keaau, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we're recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.